Chapter 44. Ruth. There was a press conference starting on TV. Three cops, all male. Two detectives that neither Ruth nor Scott recognized. The third cop was in uniform. They were on a stage with a table in front of them, facing the crowd. There were three chairs set at the table and three microphones. One of the detectives stayed to the left of stage. The uniform and the other detective, a small man in a beige suit, took a seat at the table, each of them in front of a mic. The cop who stayed on his feet ushered a young woman to the table. She sat in the middle, a brunette with a haunted look. The cameras at the press conference flashed all over her. The skin below her eyes was red and swollen. She hung her head, shielding her face with her hair, trying to keep the cameras from blinding her. The uniform began speaking.
"Thank you for attending, ladies and gentlemen. Another senseless murder in our city. And we need the help of all New Yorkers and anyone who was staying at the Paramount Hotel last night to come forward and speak to our officers. We are setting up a toll-free number dedicated to gathering as much information as we can to help solve this crime. My colleague from the press corps will give out that number at the end of this press conference. I'm joined on my right by Detective John Starkey, and on my left is Michelle Travers, Patrick's widow, who wants to send out a personal appeal for witnesses in this case. First, Detective Starkey will explain where we are so far in this developing investigation. John?"
Starkey cleared his throat, leaned forward, and spoke into the microphone.
"Thank you, Captain Roberts. Holidays can be a tough time for families. And there's one family that won't have a son and a husband at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow. This is a heinous crime, and we will catch the perpetrators. We can tell you that at approximately 10:30 last evening, we were contacted by staff at the Paramount Hotel. A maid noticed a substance, a chemical of some kind, leaking from under the door to a guest's room. She knocked, got no answer, entered the room and discovered a body on the floor, covered in what smelled like bleach. She quickly realized the person was deceased. We can tell you that the victim in this case was Mr. Patrick Travers, a 43-year-old advisor to the mayor's office."
The murder rate in New York is nothing compared to what it used to be. But most weeks, there will be some shootings, stabbings, robberies, something that will result in the loss of life. The victims don't ordinarily get a press conference. But if you knock off someone from the mayor's office, you can expect the full force of the law marshaled and sent in your direction with all speed.
"Fuck,"
said Scott, running his hands through his hair. He then linked his fingers together behind his neck, let his elbows fall together, and cursed some more. Ruth turned back to the TV. The detective spoke in a throaty, hoarse voice, a voice that was no stranger to hard liquor and long, cold nights.
"We do have some security camera footage from last night, and we are keen to speak to this man. If you recognize him or know who he is, please call the precinct or use the toll-free number, which we will give out at the conclusion of this briefing."
The screen changed, and Scott moved towards it. Footage from a security camera showed a hallway in the hotel with a man in the frame. It was Scott, but only from the back. The other image that flashed up was from the front, but he was looking away, and his face wasn't visible to the camera. Ruth would know her husband anywhere, but she wondered if anyone else might be able to ID Scott from this footage. Probably not, she thought.
"If you recognize this individual, please contact NYPD immediately. This is our main suspect. All avenues of inquiry remain open, including possible links to organized crime. Now, I'd like to ask Michelle to say a few words," said the detective.
The camera shifted, pulled in close to the grieving partner. She kept her head low, her hair covering most of her face. Only her eyes seemed visible. She had that look of a life derailed. Grief is an injury. Ruth knew that look.
"Someone took my partner away last night. This is the toughest day of my life. I want whoever did this brought to justice. Patrick worked every day for the city, And now he's gone. Please help bring his killer to justice.
She spoke, despite the obvious strain in her voice, with a quiet dignity. The camera zoomed in further, tracing every line on Michelle's face. The tracks of tears through her makeup, the puffiness around her eyes, the quivering strand of hair that hung in front of her face. It was a stunt, a deliberate and callous one to gain sympathy for Travers, to get people to react and cooperate with the investigation. It hurt the woman to talk about her husband. Ruth shook her head.
They want us to feel sorry for her, she said.
Scott threw Ruth a questioning look.
I don't feel anything for her, said Ruth. Is that wrong? I just don't. Now she knows what it feels like. Now she knows how I feel. Now she knows how the pain tastes.
What are you talking about? I killed this poor woman's husband. He wasn't the one who attacked you.
It doesn't matter, said Ruth through a snarl. They should all suffer. Why should I have to go through this? Why me?
Scott's mouth fell open.
When we thought he was the Prowler, you were relieved he was dead so that he couldn't hurt you again, so he couldn't hurt anyone else.
But he didn't get to finish the thought.
Maybe, she said, cutting him off. Maybe I wanted him to hurt the same way I do, him and his family. That's fair.
But he's not the one who hurt you, Ruth. Don't you see that?
A headache began at the back of her neck, spreading up over her skull. She wanted the man who hurt her dead. That's all she wanted, and she didn't care about anything else. And if Scott had made a mistake and killed the wrong man, so what? Life is pain and fear, and she wanted everyone to know what it felt like to be her, because otherwise, it just wasn't fair. That was part of it, maybe a big part. It helped. And in the knowledge of others suffering just as she suffered, she didn't feel as afraid as before. Scott shook his head, and they both looked back at the screen.
Thank you, Michelle, said Starkey. I will now hand you over to Dan Puccini from Media Relations, who will give you that number and all the contact details for the precinct. He will answer any questions you have at this time. Thank you.
Starkey and Michelle got up, the detective holding her arm as they left the stage. Her loss looked heavy on her. Ruth couldn't take her eyes off the new widow. It was almost as if she was looking into a mirror. She saw her own pain in that woman, and somehow, for reasons she couldn't understand, Ruth felt better. It was almost as if Ruth's pain was a large obsidian stone, dark and alien, that she carried around inside. And seeing someone else with her pain, and the knowledge that Ruth had in some way played a part in that, made the sinister stone in Ruth's chest shrink, like she had passed some of the poison from her system onto someone else. A hot cramp splashed over the right side of her head and remained there for a few seconds. She often got these flashes rippling across her skull, the beginnings of a migraine, she thought. Another policeman stepped to the lectern. He wore a suit, NYPD media manager, Dan Puccini. Tall, with dark hair, a strong cut to his jawline, as if it had been chiseled out of a rock face. Blue eyes. Ruth moved forward to get a better look. Her eyes widened, her body stiffened. That black stone in her chest swelled, the blood rushed to the surface of her skin, and a searing flash broke over her head again, as if someone had set her brain on fire. And in that moment, she saw him, the monster, his face staring at her, reflected in a shard of broken glass in her kitchen door. It was fleeting, but it was there, like a light burned into her retina, so that she saw him with her eyes open and with them closed. Dan Puccini looked up from the lectern, and the camera swooped tight to his face. His eyes locked onto Ruth's, and she saw his lips move soundlessly, mouthing those words.
Hello, sweetheart.
She raised a hand, shot her finger at the screen, and forced her voice through the pain to say,
That's him!